All right, call the meeting, call the work session in. Seems it's my first meeting, I don't have a lot.
It's recording.
What do you got, Jeff?
Don't have a lot today.
I'd like to mention or discuss changing the dates for our works, or board meetings. So we've been meeting for the last couple of years on Thursdays, prior to that it was Mondays. I'd love to go back to Monday. What do you guys think about it?
I like Thursday.
I don't have a problem with Mondays.
Okay.
I don't like Mondays.
Why don't you like Monday?
Because if you take a long weekend, it's a hard time to get back. But I'll go along on Monday if everybody else wants to do it. I mean, I like Thursdays, it's kind of, it breaks up the week, and it's been comfortable.
I absolutely don't like Mondays, because that, to me, it's a hard way to start your week, to go to work all day Monday, and then go to work Monday night, and then have four more days of the week to go in to work. So to me, Thursdays work out great, and you don't have to worry about a long weekend. You can take it if you want it. Why do you like Mondays?
For what it's worth, all of my school boards meet Monday, plus Salina, Clay, and I feel like I'm missing somebody.
So we'll never see you.
So we'll never see you.
Exactly.
And it's good to have the messenger represented.
Yeah.
See, I remember you asked about changing the board meetings, but what I didn't realize was that court is in here on Tuesday and Wednesday. So the only options are Monday and Thursday.
And the only reason I like Monday is I like starting the week off with the most important responsibilities I have. For me, the town board is the number one. So I'd like to be able to hit that at the beginning of the week. I also feel like it gives department heads maybe a little bit more time, theoretically, to get all the material to the supervisor so we don't have things showing up on the agenda last minute. It's been a pet peeve of mine for a couple of years.
Hey.
Well, I was going to ask Ashley, so if, say they were, theoretically, they were on Monday, what would that mean for us as far as coverage from the messenger?
I mean, I'd have to kind of triage the agendas based on what other meetings there are, and at least PACB is able to cover all the Baldwinsville stuff, so I can watch it after the fact. What about alternate Thursday nights? Because my concern with the schedule as it is, this meeting the same night as the village.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have to choose between Lysander and Baldwinsville. Does another board meet the opposite Thursdays?
I work for fire department, and I have meetings on that one night, so I can't do Thursdays.
And then doesn't the planning board meet on those days? So there'd be a conflict too, if people wanted to attend them.
Daytime hours is totally out.
What's that?
Daytime hours.
I think so. Because we
got. Just bringing it up.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we got three people that.
Have
other jobs. And I don't see it working for anybody.
And the public wouldn't really be able to.
Right. The village in North Syracuse, they have two meeting times.
Mm-hmm.
So the first Thursday, I think. They have two Thursday meetings, and I can't remember which days it is, but the first one of the month is at 6:30, and the second one is at 4:30. So they're trying to hedge their bets between people who work during the day and might be able to duck out for that 4:30 meeting. So that's an option.
You go to those?
Could you do like the first and the 15th of each month, so that way it could be a Monday and a Thursday, let's just say, you know? First week is the Monday meeting, the second or third week of that month, it's the Thursday meeting.
I'd be okay with that.
I'm just throwing ideas out.
It's different.
The only problem, I think the reason why they switched to Thursdays was all the rescheduled meetings for Monday holidays.
Holidays. I think there's only two, if I'm not mistaken, that are Monday holidays this year.
Yeah, but I know that's the reason why they went.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely.
They went to Thursdays so they didn't have the rescheduling problems. There aren't any holidays.
Observe holidays that it's on a, falls on a weekend, and now it's on a Monday, so,
Exactly. That was the reasoning behind that.
And we're never going to make everybody happy, but I scheduled some times in the next year based on the fact that we were gonna have the first Thursday and the third Thursdays as meetings. So if we change them, I'm gonna be in trouble. And I'm not gonna change these times out of town. Can't do it. So I would vote to leave it alone and maybe look at it for next year. Before we make any commitments to go places.
Yeah, we don't have to do anything tonight anyway, so.
No.
I mean, that's
ideas.
I just wanted to bring it up for conversation purposes.
And, you know, as you know, if anything comes up, you can always change a meeting from one day to the next.
Right.
If for some reason you need to do it on a Monday, you just change the Thursday meeting to the following Monday.
Right.
So you got the flexibility to do that.
How much notice do you have to give the public? 10 days?
3 days.
3 days.
Yeah. If it's a special meeting. But if you know, if for example, we had a meeting tonight and you wanted to change your meeting, the news media is already here,
right.
So they've got notice.
Yeah, and they only need 72 hours before.
Right. Right.
So that's where the 3 days comes in, 72 hours.
3 days comes in if you have a special meeting that's called, you know,
right.
Shorter than the normal.
Right.
But if you give notice far enough in advance, mm-hmm. you can do it anytime.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just some opportunity, that's all.
Well, we could do Saturday mornings, too, right?
You know, that might be, I mean, when you're...
You're reelected, don't you,
Jeff? He has 4 years.
I'm just joking. Just joking.
You know, during your comments tonight, throw it out to people.
Yeah.
See what they think. I mean, if it doesn't work for the public, it's no good for us.
Right.
I mean, really, that's who it has to work for.
Absolutely.
You know, but like I said, we don't have to do... Like, you know, I understand, you know, when Bob, if he already made plans for the year, and a lot of people do that.
And that makes sense.
Thanks, appreciate that.
And you may run into the same problem with the public. Let's say, come in on a Monday, if that's their day off,
right.
then you may not want to come in on a Monday, you know.
You think?
If there's only two, I don't know which ones.
Yeah, there's a, yeah.
I don't know
there's
which ones are which.
MLK, there's a bunch of them that fall on a Monday.
So I was wondering if we could... just discuss some of the things that I discovered in the organization meeting, which some of them I think we could make some changes tonight if we think it's appropriate. So the first one was the procurement policy, and unless I'm missing something, the procurement policy, which is now on page 11, well, it's on page 11 of the sheet that we have here, at the bottom. Tell me what I'm missing here. It says if the dollar amount is $1,000 to $29.99, two verbal quotes. If the dollar amount is $3,000 to $19.99, it's three quotes. But it doesn't say anything over $19.99. And I'm wondering if we should just make it $3,000 and higher.
And above.
Right. I don't think you can, because I think that goes along with town law.
Oh.
And that's.
Then you got to bid it after that.
Yeah, then it's a sealed bid. The reason it's like that, and I went over this with Dave, the numbers are in there, so it specifies in the town law when you have to, if it's over $20,000, then you have to put it out for sealed bid. If it's under that, then you go with that policy, and it specifically states in there that...
That's all the sense in the world.
Yeah,
Should we specify, though? Because there's nothing that says what you just said.
Except that it's law.
It's the law.
It's in it. And it said you just have to have the policy. So what we're doing is we're conforming by the law by coming up with the policy.
Right.
So
we're coming up with half of it. I don't want to.
This is our own policy for things that don't require bidding.
Gotcha. Right.
All right. So
beyond this requires bidding.
That answers that. Okay. Then on the last page, this in lieu of parkland. Tina, maybe you can help us out here, but I think the previous town board last year changed up to four lots to $350, did we not? And I don't know if we should even think about changing this tonight, but at least have it reflected at the $350 if that's in fact what we did. But maybe just make a commitment over the next couple of months to talk about in lieu of parklands in general, because it's my fault, but I was unaware that we had gradients, that if it's up to four lots, it's $250 a lot, up to five lots, it's $500. So I'm just wondering if we should review that at some point, just in what we're charging for when you build a house or a developer builds a house. And this doesn't say anything about an individual house. Maybe, do you know, Al, if you build an individual house?
So it's not the house construction, it's the creation of the lot.
Right.
So if it's a minor subdivision for a building lot, minor subdivisions are four lots or less, it's $250. I believe that's what it was. That's what the board set it to last year.
Okay.
Because it used to be $125.
Oh, maybe
okay,
that's
so
what
we
it
raised
was.
It.
We raised
okay.
Yeah, you raised it to $250, and the major subdivision used to be $350, and you raised it to $500.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
Al always has the answer.
Right. In this case.
Why, and just devil's advocate, why do we make a distinction between a minor and a major subdivision?
The process is different, and the requirements for subdivision.
But what? Why?
As far as the fee in lieu of parkland, I believe the philosophy of the previous administrations, I mean, this is going back a ways, has been that large-scale major developments put significantly more burden on parkland use than, you know, a farmer splitting off a lot for one of his kids. Or, I mean, that historically has been why, or my understanding of why the minor subdivision has been less. Typically, those are not major developers. They're a farmer or somebody that owns a large frontage piece with one house on it and is splitting off a lot for somebody else.
Makes sense.
Okay.
And the park fees in the statute is to reserve for the major subdivisions to reserve green space. If you have a small subdivision, there's no green space to save. I mean, it's probably using most of the whole lot.
Yeah, but that's not what this is. This is giving the town money to use for maybe saving green space, but could you know, or anything related to parks.
But what I'm saying is the reason for the justification for charging was because of the green space.
Right.
You don't have that same consideration if it's a small.
Okay. I'm comfortable with it. Everybody else is comfortable with it.
As Al says, it's usually a farmer, you know, putting a building lot in for his child or something.
Okay.
Now, I was talking to Karen Rice today about this, and she said that we're low on the fees. So I agree with you. We should. And I asked her. I said, "Can you reach out to neighboring towns?" Now we wouldn't go out to Fayetteville. That's a whole different mm-hmm. demographic out there. I mean, things are just more expensive. But if we go to like Clay, Camillus, Salina, all the neighboring ones, see what they're charging. And then I agree with you. I even think we should, and you can tell me if this would even, we'd be okay to do this, but what I'd like to see, if you're a farmer and you want to break off one piece of your property for your kid, and it's your major residence, I think we should charge less. For that, and I'm talking just one,
yeah.
You know, even break it down even more. And I agree with you, but I think we should, you know, move this around and then take a look at if somebody has some property and they want to give that property piece of property to their kids. They live in the town of Lysander, or you know, anybody, and that's going to be their primary residence. And let's charge them less, and then with developers, they want to come in and develop. They're making a profit on it, and there's green space. Then we'll revisit it, but we'll take a look at what other towns locally are charging and come into line with those.
I believe most local towns don't differentiate between minor and major, so we're kind of already given a break from a fee standpoint that most other municipalities don't. So there's no, I think Tony could vouch for this too. I think most other local towns don't differentiate from a fee standpoint between minor and major subdivisions.
Yeah, it varies, and you can do whatever you want to do. I mean, that's,
yeah.
mm-hmm. there's nothing says it has to be this
right.
way. And you can also change this anytime during the year that you want to change mm-hmm. it.
So
it's
what if we went
permanent.
To Karen doing some investigating, right, and mm-hmm. then coming back and discussing it in a couple of months
yeah.
and just seeing what else is out there?
But in the meantime, what are we going to do about the fees? So, what's the problem with leaving the fees the way? Yeah, leaving them alone, and then I agree with you. We should revisit it, and then you know, leave them as they are. And then when she comes in with the information, then we'll have a lot more to work with.
Excellent.
And
then the only
question there, under the section on apartments, it's listed as a flat fee, $500 a unit. When you refer to the unit, are you referring to a building with 20 apartments in it, or each apartment?
Each residential unit.
Each apartment.
Each apartment.
Each apartment.
Yep.
Okay.
What's Karen's last name?
Rice.
And then the only other thing I had in terms of the organizational meeting, we're specifying, it's just, it's there, we're specifying the price for road millings. But Dina did a, there's a lot of other things we do. Should we have them in the organizational thing, like installing culverts, reinstalling culverts? And, you know, Jerry, you do a bunch of the different things. Do we want to put them in this? And is there a reason we don't have them in here, but we have road millings in here as an example? I don't know the answer to that question.
Or do we need all of our policies?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I'm thinking,
why do we pick
charge,
and choose between
like,
one or two
if
policies?
If you're going to charge for this, why isn't that in this? And we can't do it tonight.
Right. Or does it need to be?
Oh, yeah.
Does it have to be in here?
No, you can adopt a policy anytime you want during the
okay.
year.
So should we take the road millings policy out? Because it just seems so picky.
I'd like
to
if you didn't do that.
Well, we're selling them stuff, though, right?
No.
I mean, we're selling them stuff.
Then you would deal with the road millings.
Right. But that's another point. So rather than, but we do other things, Bob. So like if you're building a house and you have to put a culvert in for your driveway, the town has charged in the past. Sometimes it hasn't charged. Or if we're going to fix a culvert, sometimes we charge it, sometimes we don't. It's not a reflection on Jerry. The town has done this. And that's just another example. I mean, there's other things we do, right, Jerry? I mean,
when you refer to driveways, new installation, there's a permit fee.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised I'm not seeing it right
It's not here,
here
exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we have it. We have a schedule. We have a fee sheet. And, you know, a new driveway, there's a flat fee. I think it's $100 now off the top of my head. I have an application we have to fill out, you know. And it's a very minor fee, if you will, for
mm-hmm.
a driveway install. And the people have the option of having Town Highway put it in. Now we have a fee schedule for that. Okay, so much a foot for pipe, so much for the gravel. We didn't have it that well broke down. You remember we talked about
this stuff. Oh, yeah,
absolutely. So it's much more fair, I guess, is the way to put it now for us and for them. The only one that hasn't been totally addressed is changing a bad pipe after 30 years or something like that. We've always just done it. But usually it's done if there's an immediate issue, or if we're redoing a road surface, we take care of all the issues we find when we redo the road. So we're not cutting up new stuff to fix old stuff. So that part hasn't been.
Well, we've held discussions about that, too.
We've had a lot of them.
Right, right. Because I think we had disagreements as to who should pay what portion of that project.
We install, no problem. They got to pay. We were also discussing that a driveway permit fee should be collected from the developments for every driveway in the place because they impact us too, maintenance and everything else. And we'd like to get a look, Al and I have had discussions about this before, you know, we'd like to get a look at where this builder plans on dropping this house and dropping this driveway because they create nightmares for our residents that they don't perceive when they dump a driveway right out on a stop sign at a corner, and then every time we plow, we get the phone call, you stuffed my driveway. Well, gee, if your house was mirror imaged, you wouldn't have that problem.
Right, or they have the
driveways
on the catch basin.
Yeah, but sometimes they can't put a mirror image because of the utilities, too.
Your house sits within its
Yeah,
spot.
Like my house that I built, it was supposed to be flip-flop, but they couldn't because of the way the utilities ran.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I see them where they do them and they drop the sewer line and the vent cap right in the middle of the guy's driveway.
Right
now, they just did it. And it's like we have no control to say anything about that. So if there was a driveway permit fee, that allows me to come out and say, all right, here's said house, here's the two corners. What do you show me? Your one little piece of paper is all I need that shows me how your house is going to sit on this lot. And I'll say, no, your driveway's not coming out there over the top of that catch basin.
Isn't that part of the permit process, though, to show how the house is going to be on that plot
of land? Basically an 11 by 13 piece of paper. No grade, no anything.
Well, I think that's what we discussed previously multiple times, is we should be getting a survey that is not just a boundary survey with the footprint of the house on it. We should be getting a survey that shows existing utility connections for the home, Any other town-owned infrastructure, i.e. catch basins, sanitary sewer manholes, shown on one map that's reviewed by code enforcement and Jerry prior to the
builder permit getting
The building permit getting issued.
Just to head off issues.
And the same thing with spot grades, so we can make sure that we aren't creating drainage problems for that house or the house next door. And it gives us something, a way to verify the driveway slopes aren't going to be exceeded. Builders don't like it. I'll be perfectly honest. Builders don't like to tell you what your finished floor is going to be before they start. Jerry will tell you, half of them are throwing a wag at it. Instead of doing it in a scientific manner and having a survey give them grades of what the lot corners are so that they can make the drainage work.
Right. And it's just another way for us to help stop short-term and long-term problems and complaints, things that our residents aren't thinking of when they're getting said house built.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to realize every time his plow jockey comes in there and scrapes his driveway, that little sewer clean-out plug cap in the middle of his driveway is going to get tore off of there. You know, I mean, it's just so that those little niggly issues aren't. And our residents will be happier. We'll be happier. I won't be fielding all the phone calls every time it snows. And we got one guy, I can guarantee, calls me every time it snows. Every time. There's nothing I can do about it.
Just one.
You know.
Would we have to change the codes for that?
Yeah, and that's kind of a simple fix. We can either change the code to reflect the permit and to say the permit must contain this information.
Mm-hmm.
Those are easy fixes.
Are there other towns that you know of that do that already?
To the extent that Al's talking about, I couldn't tell you. I don't know whether they've gone to that depth.
Mm-hmm.
We can certainly talk to other town code enforcement officers or town engineers to say what
I
you
know
guys
our,
do.
Our code enforcement officer was concerned about extra workload.
I mean, I can say that.
I says to him, I says, how many house permits did you do last year? 50. He says, that's one a week. Do you know how long it take me to drive by and go, yeah, that's okay for a driver, or no, that one's not?
I guess one of the things that's worth noting is that I think the New York State Building Code were covered on this as well. Building Code, New York State, well, now International Building Code, references site plan and required elements of a site plan. And, you know, we are certainly justified in asking for those elements. Mm-hmm. Most, I can't say most, but a lot of municipalities do require exactly what we're talking about. Jerry can tell you, I can say that I've seen it in many other places. It's pretty common thing, and I don't know if necessarily it's a local town code. I think it's just a matter of
they're following the state code.
Following the state code a little code tighter. You know, our past practice has been
it's a little loose.
Yeah, I don't know if loose is the right narrative term, we haven't focused on those site plan details as much as we have on the home construction details.
Well, that we put more, believe it or not, when it comes to a simple thing like a driveway permit. All these years, no fees have been collected on any of the driveways in any of the developments where you got multiple housing units. But if I go out in the country and a guy wants a little driveway put into his one house, I'm collecting a permit, I'm checking site distances. You know, these things are being done for one house out on a country road. It should be done when you put in a massive development to make sure everything can flow, everything can work. You know what I mean? Stops problems.
When you define driveway in your terms, I mean, is it just gravel? Is it asphalt? Because when you build a house nowadays, normally builders, they just put rock down, right?
Yeah, that's your beginning.
Yeah. But then from that rock, the homeowner, when they decide to pave their driveway, they can expand it from there, right? So
there's limits to how wide it can be where it hits my road.
Right. So that would have to be in there. I don't know if it is. Okay.
No, it is.
That's in my stuff already. Okay. When you apply for a driveway permit, there are parameters.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the stuff that Al's talking about, we can just include in the permit application where they have to fill out the information.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it in there.
And then just reference the state code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just make it a policy adopted by the town board and
basically review before you excavate.
Well, I mean, not before a permit is issued, really. Yeah. We should have that survey that shows not only the footprint of the building on the lot, but where the driveway is going, and any existing utilities, the utility connections for the lot, and any other public utilities located on the lot. And like I said, spot elevations of the property corners, what the finished floor of the house is going to be, so that you can verify that your grade on your driveway is adequate, and that you've got drainage around the structure, and you're not damming up water from a property that's adjacent.
Who around, what towns around? Do you know any towns around here that do that already?
I know Tom Sullivan does. I know Manlius does.
So in Onondaga County, Manlius does.
Yeah, there's other municipalities. I mean, I don't know them all off the top of my head.
But what I'm saying is we already have a reference that we can utilize for us. I mean, if they've already done it,
like I said,
there's
I think
no
it's
sense
already
in
part of the international building.
Right. But I mean, their application process and everything. I mean, it's got to be in their permit application. So that's something that we could probably.
I think that we adopt the cleanest and easiest way to do it is to adopt an amendment to our current permit application that currently only says you need to have a boundary plan, site plan, or a boundary survey and building footprint showing the required setbacks, as all our permit application says. So it's simple addition of a one sentence extension in our existing permit, and then adopting a new permit application. I don't know if it's something that truly has to be.
I mean, you could put in the application, the permit application, whatever we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when they go to fill out and apply for the permit, here's the information we want.
Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have to change any of the existing codes or anything because you already have the state code.
Yeah.
So that we would just conform to and just change our
right.
Our
policy.
Permit.
Theoretically, when they come in and apply, they should be doing that anyway.
Right.
But this way, we make sure it's on the permit.
Yeah.
So that they can look and see, okay, I need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, it does add a little bit of a cost for the builder from a survey standpoint. Yeah, but the surveyor is already going to be doing work at the site, and we're not talking
marking corners.
Yeah,
they're out there
anyway. We're not talking big dollars here. We're talking
a couple of grade stakes.
Yeah, we're talking a couple hundred bucks, maybe $300. You know, it's not any more than that because they're already making the site a trip to the site.
Yeah, surveys around $500 nowadays.
Well, yeah, but I mean this isn't.
This would be additional work.
No, additional work. Yeah, and they're already there, so yeah,
it's additional work on top of it. But it's you're already making a trip to the site anyway,
yeah.
So it's not like you're talking hours and hours of time. I mean, field work right now, private survey field work is around $95 an hour. You know, you're talking to maybe 3 hours at most to grab
the
these
whole
features.
Thing.
Yeah, to grab these features and you know give a. Give a more adequate information for Jerry and Tim.
Yeah, I mean, you know, personally, I don't care if the guy's got a catch basin in the middle of his driveway, but I'm the one that gets the call when it gets busted.
Well, I was just going to say, it kind of adds to our cost from a maintenance standpoint.
And time, too.
Yes,
your time, you know?
Yeah, it adds
I'd rather take the time now. Take the 10 minutes to swing by and look at said lot and see these grade stakes and know, you know, that, hey, this guy shouldn't have any problems.
Yeah, you know.
And we shouldn't either.
All right, so you're going to move on that. Going back to my original concern, which was some of the prices and fees are in the organizational meeting chart and a bunch of them are not. This is a good reference to anybody that wants to see everything that the town of Lysander charges, except it doesn't have everything.
And keep in mind that policies that we have previously adopted to set fees are still there. They don't go year to year.
I know.
So, I mean, there may be some that aren't in this thing, but were adopted
right,
a year or 2 years ago.
If you're a member of the public or a board member who wants to see one place where all the fees are listed, where am I going to see it? So I guess
I
all
understand
I'm asking
what you're
from a devil's advocate question, why are we having some of them here and some of them not?
Right.
And
I
does
get
it
that.
Make sense?
Should they
we
all
can't
be
do
there?
It tonight, but can we make sure we put
we
them
can,
all in one place?
At some point in time, we can go go through the code with Dina and say, okay, here's all the fees. And just list them and provide it on the website or whatever.
I was gonna say, I believe the code actually references a fee schedule kept in the clerk's office in chapter one.
Yes, I mean, it's on record someplace. Do you want to print a separate one? You can do that.
No, I think for 2021, we should put them all in here.
Yeah, that's...
That way, because it looks like we're being arbitrary not to.
Well, this was because today was, you know, like day one. I didn't have a lot of opportunity. I'm just saying this was taken off of.
Yeah, off we've done this every year. We've done it every year, and it's just.
So all you want to do is tighten it up.
Or be less seemingly arbitrary in terms of what fees we list. I mean, all the cemetery fees are there, all the parks and recreation fees are there, all the late fees for this and late fees for that. And there's one highway fee in there for stuff you don't want to do anymore, which is, we should talk about that, and not everything else. So let's put them all in one place. And that way, at least once a year, the board reviews all of those fees. We have a chance to look at all of them and say, is this what we want to do?
You can adopt whatever's there tonight if you want.
Yep.
Do another schedule with everything on it. And adopt that as the amended fee schedule.
That would be great. I would like that. I don't know.
That way you've got it.
Because that should be on the, one of the things that when I'm looking at our website really isn't user friendly. No. I mean, I try to navigate through there. So that's one of the things I think in the future we should address. And then to your point, all of that stuff should be on there. And when it looks up fees, it should be easy, like a Google. You want to hit, building a house. What do you need to do? And there should be a tutorial there. This is what you need. These are the fees, when you're doing a driveway. Or if you're just doing driveway, hit driveway, and it bangs the driveway. I know they can do that. Now, what the cost is, I don't know. But I've already talked to a couple of people about it. And, yeah, that can be done. And, we could list all that stuff.
Who has access to the information? Dina, you have access to all of it? So we could delegate it to ask Dina if she wouldn't mind putting a package together of listing them all. And then we can vote on it.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Well, then you can review them, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Including road millings.
But all of those things that are in the code, I mean, they've all been adopted already because we adopted the code. So you just want like a separate list of everything.
Who does our program on our website? Who?
I do. Oh.
Can you change to do the things that Bob was talking about?
I can change some of it.
I think a lot of the stuff, like you mentioned, if you use the search bar tool, it's in the top right-hand corner, pops, like there's a drive. If you type in driveway permit, it takes you right to the driveway permit form, which spells out the fees. If you type in building permit, it takes you to the building permit form, which spells out all the fees.
And there's a tab a forms tab on the right that you can pull down at all the forms for everything too.
But
I mean, we can go through it.
But to Bob's credit, it's really not user-friendly. And then especially if you're trying to use it on like a mobile device, the iPhone or an iPad.
It's totally different on a mobile as opposed to a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's even,
Plus you can't read it.
I was going to say, that's the problem. A lot of the stuff on our website is lengthy that it's just not user-friendly. I mean, it comes up, but you can't.
The only thing that I think is user-friendly at all from a mobile app is you can see the calendar, so you can find out if you have a town board meeting, but that's really it.
Any document is tough to read. It's so small.
I had a couple more questions. I was really pleased. Is Bob Ellis volunteering to be on the cemetery? Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did such a good job there. I'm going to continue, obviously, looking at this thing as the rep to Canton Woods, but I would urge each of you, and I think you'll come to the next one, Bob, but we should just come to the next Canton Woods board meeting, whenever it is. I forget when it is. They meet like every other month.
Yeah.
Just a good bunch of people, and just to say hello, and maybe you too, Jeff. I've had fun on that committee, and I don't have any parochial sense about needing to be on that committee, so if anybody else wants to do it, because they're it's a good group of people. And they do some really, really good stuff. So
I've been over there a couple of times.
Yeah.
I just recently haven't, but that was on my agenda actually for next week.
Excellent.
To stop over there.
Good.
Yeah.
What else?
Jeff and I are going to go over and have a scallop ham dinner.
That's great.
Delicious.
I'll have to pick the meat up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the board, they're all volunteers, the board that meets. And it's an interesting, I think you know this, but it, you know, just for the record, it's commendable that the town of Van Buren, the town of Lysander, and the village of Baldwin all team together to basically run this place. It's under the auspices of the village of Baldwinsville, but you know, we contribute $66,000 to church, and so does Van Buren. And it's really a community-wide asset. So.
No, I agree with that. There's not enough places for people to go, and I might be there in a couple of years, so.
Actually, if you want to write it down, it's February 6th at 7:45 they meet at Cam Woods. It'll be the next meeting. I can send you an email, too.
I'll put it on there.
The only other big thing that I would like to introduce, and Jack Corey is sitting here, is the timing is right to, I think, to bring and put back on the table the comprehensive land use plan, the CLUP, to just, when did we complete that, Al? About 5 years ago?
2015,
yeah, the final draft was adopted in 16.
Okay.
Right, Jack?
Yeah.
Final draft was adopted in 16. The actual final written part of it was done end of 2015. It actually recommends a 5-year comprehensive list. It recommends an update or a meeting, same meeting, but every 5 years. This would coordinate well with the local waterfront redevelopment plan that grant that we just got awarded from the state. It would be a great opportunity. We could do those two plans at the same time and make sure that the comprehensive land use plan jives with the recommendations of the local waterfront redevelopment plan.
How would we go about making the next step on that? Maybe, and Jack, I'll look to you as well as Al. What should we do? What would be your recommendation?
So the last two administrations ago, they formed a committee. The committee consisted of local representatives, elected officials, and members of, we had a developer on the committee, just as a to get that perspective. We had an elected official. We had the planning board chairman and the ZBA chairman. We had another member of the planning board. Myself, we invited the school board to participate in a meeting. We invited the our school superintendent. We invited the village of Baldwinsville, the town of Van Buren, all to provide input and guidance. The first step would be selecting a committee to review it, and then I know Syracuse Onondaga County Planning Agency loves to help local municipalities out with this stuff. There is funding available for it, and they did all our maps and everything free of charge the last time they did that. So it'd be a little coordination with the county, and then to set up a committee.
How long of a process is it?
Last time, it was a pretty major overhaul what we did last time, and it was about a year and 3 months or so from when the committee was formed to when we had a draft that was presented to the board, then another couple months of the board review, and then a public hearing, and local law adoption for the comprehensive land.
Well, I throw it out there as something that would be, it's the right thing to do, and it just gives us all an opportunity to just make sure that we're comfortable with the way we're approaching land use and development in these terms.
I don't disagree that it's not. I think it's something that we could definitely look at. Maybe we should give the new board a couple meetings or a couple months just to get their feet under the ground and then bring this back up for a conversation.
Yeah, I think the ideal time would be when we had the kickoff for the local waterfront redevelopment plan, which will require a committee as well. Maybe those two committees are the same. We're a few months out on that. We got notice and reward of the grant, but we're 4 to 6 months out before we get a contract from the state to actually start writing it.
And that's just the village and us, right?
Correct.
Van Buren isn't in there.
Van Buren didn't participate.
Yeah, I mean, if it should be reviewed every 5 years, we should be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's time.
It says it in the document.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only 2 cents that I can add is that, we should feel so proud, seriously, in terms of all that the town of Lysander has accomplished, in terms of thinking about how it wants the town to look now and into the future. So, it's a good feeling to know that this town, for the last 10 or 15 years has looked seriously about what it wants to look like. And I'm not so sure other towns have been as rigorous as about doing that.
I can tell you they haven't.
They have.
A lot of towns don't review their land use plans for years.
Decades.
And all of a sudden they found out that we can't do this over here.
I would love to be Clay.
So it's good to review it.
Wegmans and an Amazon. Look at the tax revenue they're bringing in.
Oh, yeah. Cookie cutter streets.
Well, not only that, I mean, you look at the congestion down. If you take it from the village east, I mean, I think that has to be taken into account. I mean, that really has to be looked at.
That changes, over a period of years, it changes.
Well, talking to people
even
over the last year,
370.
I mean, that was a common theme that it's very difficult, regardless, if you live east of the village, east of Syracuse Street and Oswego Street, going towards the town line. People, regardless of the neighborhoods they live in, and Jeff lives over there, you live over there, and they said in the morning, it's difficult to get out of there. The congestion, the traffic, it's brutal. So I think that's a good thing to look at. You know, that was another thing Karen and I were looking at, the incentive zoning, you know. I mean, so that should probably
be revisited. It's good to review
this
stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
It changes,
Yeah. No, that's a good idea.
And I guess I keep asking all the questions, but the only other one on the agenda.
I don't have any questions, Bob. So
it's all right.
I need some answers.
I'll ask Jerry this question, and maybe all of us, because I can't keep track of what we're doing. So we're declaring Highway Truck 6 and 15 as surplus. Was that part of the plan we had, then, or is it something new?
They've been our spares. We finally took delivery of, and next time it snows, the new one will hit the street. Sitting there waiting. but 6 and 15 are vintage 2002s. That's 18 years old. And sending the vehicles through for inspection this fall, I think it was truck 6. They're twins, okay? Sent one of them for its inspection. Truck 6, I believe it was. And got told it wasn't going to pass. Oh, okay, what's it need? $4,800 in parts. Double that plus, that'll get you it fixed. And the whole truck's not worth $4,000.
Yeah, I
so I said, I'm drawing the line, they're spares. We got a new one coming in. We looked over truck 15, which is its twin. Same stuff wrong with it. I said, forget it.
You're not setting yourself to be short.
We'll have one spare instead of two. But
as long as you're comfortable.
Well, we just finally got it. The one that's going to be a spare just got $19,000 put in it. Hmm. And that one's only worth about nine. So, I mean, we've got our back to the wall. We got to have at least a spare. So, that's the one that's being replaced. Truck 7 is going to go into backup status. Just got 19 grand put in it within the last 3 months. So, it should be a good spare. It's finely tuned now. So it's nothing to look at, but, we'll hang on to that until we can get some more. Then truck 8 would be a spare.
And again, refresh my memory here. What are we doing in 2020? What did we vote on to do? Are we doing anything in terms of any additional vehicle purchasing?
You only authorized one.
One.
Still isn't enough.
Well, I know, but that's all. And when do we order that? Or has it been, is that the one?
Maybe at the next meeting. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the final numbers from the vendors.
Okay.
But the old numbers aren't holding, just so you know.
Really,
the 215 you approved in the budget right now, one of the vendors that wouldn't cover it.
Uh-huh.
So we might have to look at some alternative methods to get us through this year and get some stuff coming. So, cause you really can't afford any more gaps in the procurement of trucks. You really can't. They're just getting too tired, too old. So too expensive to fix them. And at least all the new ones coming in, at least they're carrying a 7-year warranty against all your major breakdown stuff. So, none of the ones I have a 2019, I have the 2020 that just came in. They're the only two trucks I have that have any warranty on them. Everything else in that barn, we're on the hook for. There was no warranty beyond the baseline 1 year's ever purchased with those other trucks. So I've got trucks that aren't a ton old, but they're at that stage where they start to lose these parts. Would have been covered under a warranty. It isn't. So, you know, we're just trying to get that plan moving. So that's what's going on there. 6
okay.
and 15, they're just not worth putting money into. We'll get what we can out of them. So. Right. Any questions on the other motion part?
What else you got?
A.
Well, I'm glad to see that's on there, but talk to us about that. What that is,
you look at the Association of Towns Highway, the Red Book, I'll call it, okay? You go into Chapter 4, and there's all these sections, 5 articles in there about different ways that, like the village can borrow a piece of equipment from us, but Joe Contractor can't. Okay, you know, there's only certain things we can do. And that chapter and those articles cover all the different kind of situations that can come up as far as tools and equipment owned by highway. And, you know, who can use it, who can't. And a few of the sections would almost lead you to believe the way they're written and the way that the law is written, that I'd have to say, hey, board, can Baldensville borrow our payloader today? You know, there's broke this morning. Well, you guys meet twice a month, so that kind of, you know what I mean, makes it a little difficult to handle those situations. Chuck will call me on the phone and need some, or I call him. You know, we go back and forth, mostly with the village. By making a motion and adopting this policy, if you will, what that does is it allows me to act. I mean, I'm allowed to act anyway, but the board has to say it's okay, you know, for me to do that. Here we are, it's housekeeping is what it is, so that we're covering our bases. The only thing we're gonna do along with this that's never been done, there's gonna be like a sign out, I'll call it a simple sign out, where when someone borrows something from us, like the village, we know who took it, what day they took it on, you know, and that way when it comes back, it's checked back in for any damages or anything like that. Because it's owned by the taxpayers and we gotta keep our stuff in good repair.
Well, I was gonna ask you, Jerry, what happens if there is damage?
Well, I will tell you, with the village, anything we've ever let them use actually comes better than it left sometimes. You know, they'll clean it or whatever, or change the oil in it for us, or, you know, like they borrow our big haul truck to haul snow in the winter. You know, it'll come back washed, you know, clean. You know, they're really good about it.
Which is nice.
Borrows, huh?
I said that's nice. But what happens in the event that there is damage, though?
I would imagine that they would take care of it. Unless it was just a wear failure, then it's, you know.
So, and Jerry, I don't have a problem with this either, but, and I know we've done this in the past. This is
just
codifying.
This has been going on for years. I'm just cleaning
sure.
it up.
Do we need to notify our insurance company, though? Do, I mean, is this something that Hank Chapman and the insurance should be aware of?
To be I don't on the believe same? So.
In the town, the highway law, this is something Jerry and I were talking about. The highway law says that in order for him to do it, which has been going on for perpetuity, that he has to get board approval. And when we were talking about it, because we were going over some things, I said, okay, let's get it memorialized here so you can do that. Now, I agree with you. I think we should have it now. There are, I think we could do it with an MOU with the village because town highway law allows for a town to let a village, as long as it's partially or wholly in the town, borrow equipment. But where we where we're going to have to probably have an intermunicipal agreement with, like, if we want to let Van Buren, which Van Buren lets us borrow stuff and we let them. Highway law says you actually have to have a contract. So that's something that we're going to have to do.
Usually,
like, right away.
With something outside of the village, let's say Van Buren's doing some oil and stone work, and they need more trucks to haul stone. We go help them. So it's our guys driving our trucks helping them. And then say we need more trucks when we're doing ours, they can help us. You know, so that's been going on for eons. I'm just trying to clean it up in regards to someone actually physically taking one of our vehicles, and one of my guys isn't driving. You know, that's what this is.
Well, I think it's great that, you know, we're going
to borrow from them
endorse
too.
Something that's been going on, like you said, for eons with kind of like no kind of authority, so to speak, to have done it. Are you going to follow, then you're going to follow up, Bob, with these MOUs?
That's something that Tony and I would have to talk about, and Jerry, we'd have to sit down and meet with, like I said, I'm not sure if, like with the village, it allows us to do it,
yes.
So an MOU would probably be okay, and what we would do is spell out, okay, if something comes back. Now, this, and Jerry and I were talking, if it's normal wear and tear, we could probably make that determination. Well, that would probably fall on us, but say, for instance,
they drove it in the ditch.
Yeah, they drove it in the ditch. Then we would spell that out, you
know,
if it's, yeah, and we would do that with the, when we go outside, whether we let anything outside the town, which would only include Baldwinsville and us, we would have to have an intermunicipal agreement. It specifically says in the highway law that you have to have contracts. So that's, I think that's how we would have to do it, right, Tony? So we'll just draw them up.
I mean, this whole section we're talking about is only 4 pages long, 5 articles. You know, you're talking like 8 paragraphs.
Yeah. And
it covers all these different situations. So we can go through it one by one and make sure we've got all our bases covered in our policy.
And before we do it, we don't want to insult anybody, because we probably get more from other people. So I'm going to sit down with them and tell them specifically why we want to do it. So it's not going to change anything we're doing. It's just going to, like you said, it's going to cover, you know, just memorialize what we're doing and conforming to highway law.
Well, I commend you for doing that. I think it's terrific.
We're talking to Hank about this certificate of additional insurance. On file.
Probably wouldn't
doesn't
hurt
cost anything. It doesn't hurt. It
doesn't hurt to ask him about what
yeah.
he would recommend.
Yeah, just a certificate of additional insured. You know,
and I'm sure most instances, let's say we loan something to the village and one of their guys actually drove it and something happened and there was some physical damage, well, they have insurance too.
Well, that's what I mean. Just exchange certificate of insurance.
It on file.
Listing the village of Baldwinsville as additional insured on our insurance policy. And then
I haven't been to the Association of Towns, but actually what I'd like to see is to have us have an agreement with every town and every village in the county. And I think that each one of us should all do this, just so that we're already covered in case we needed to borrow the stuff from each other. We already have them in place.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great thing for the Supervisors Committee.
That's what I mean.
Not necessarily the Association of Towns.
Then we got them taken care of, and we could have one blanket, one that everyone agrees to, and then they just sign off on it. Pretty simple, right?
Standard.
Yeah. And I'm sure someone's got to have one somewhere, you know, I mean.
We've got a lot of them that, you know, haphazardly. One form or the other, they all say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
so you probably already got them.
Indemnification and all that stuff.
Right.
It's all in there.
Yeah. And then, you know, the problem is we got, 17 towns or And you got how many attorneys involved? That's where we run into the problem.
Everybody wants to put their stamp on it.
Oh, yeah. I had that problem with the schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
We still have a few minutes. I know we're going to be meeting again in 2 weeks. Do you want the board's endorsement to go to the association?
Yeah, it should be on there. Isn't it?
No. You got the new thing.
The association.
The Associated Towns thing in February. Are you
I didn't put this. Yeah, we're gonna go, but
yeah,
I figured we could
go.
Do that
we'll
in
do
the
that
next one.
You want to do it at the next?
Yeah.
One? Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I just want to, for the record,
yeah.
support that you,
yeah.
both of you guys. Go
I could.
Well, I didn't know who else
one.
Wanted to go either. So
okay.
whoever wanted to go, I figured
yeah.
we'd do it then, and then you know
I
we could talk about
it
in between.
This one, January 1. I'm going to the other one.
Oh, okay.
This one. That's why my name was removed from this one.
Yeah. He can't make this one, but I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go next week.
I have a new employee starting on the 6th right. next week. So.
Okay. All right, cool.
Okay. All right. Meeting close. It's 7:06:58. We got Supreme Court Judge Jerry Neary here. He's gonna graciously showed up.